When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. And today I'm talking to Scott Lawson, who is the founder and MD of TrackPal. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Let's start off by you telling me just a little bit about what TrackPal does.
TrackPal is basically a automated data aggregation and reporting software solution for marketing professionals. It's designed to simplify the process of collecting data and reporting on it for a variety of purposes. So we take out a lot of the boring work that marketers have to do to reports.
Now, I know you've got some quite solid views on getting this balance between sort of the creative and the tech, if you like. Before we go into that, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the history of you and how you got started with TrackPal.
Yeah, so about 6 years ago, I was working at an agency where I saw a need for this particular solution because there was a lot of time being wasted in copying and pasting data from various places and putting into PowerPoint reports and things like that. And there weren't solutions on the market for this, and it was something that most agencies were having problems with. So as a developer, I decided that there was a better way. So I started TrackPal about 5 years ago, and it's been growing ever since. So basically, it started with an idea and a need, basically to save people time and in turn money, so that they weren't wasting a lot of time doing manual work and could instead focus on doing more creative and analytical work, which is much more valuable to their clients.
Now, the interesting thing about you, Scott, is that obviously you're a developer, but you're also into marketing, and you've also been a filmmaker. You're like me, you're a combination of the tech and the creative. You've got three main things. The first notion, because I know we had a pre-chat about this, is this notion of combining the creative and the tech in terms of a marketing approach, wasn't it?
Yeah, so as someone, as you mentioned, I've previously made films. I studied engineering, so I've sort of quite familiar with the sciences and the arts. And I've always been somewhat creative, but also in a technical way. So that's sort of, I guess, how I ended up in software. And yeah, so but I guess what I believe has worked well for us and for a lot of other companies out there, especially in Brighton, is when creative people are combined with technical people, because they can utilize both of those skill sets to create products and campaigns that are much more interesting than either just purely creative-led ones or purely technical-led ones. And this is something that's been going on for quite a while. It's how Steve Jobs started Apple. He set that mindset. Again, it's how the filmmaking process works. You have technical and creative people together. And as the Wide Sussex Fuse Box report mentioned last year, I think they call it superfuse companies that combine technical and creative skills together had grown much more than other companies.
And presumably, Scott, this is something you've got to personal experience in.
Yes. So basically, when I created the product from the start, design was important, making it simple for users to use so that most of the actual technical, clever part of the tool is actually behind the scenes. So when it comes to using it, it's about making it as simple as possible for them to use so they can actually spend the time being creative themselves, use the information to analyze it for the trends and various other things. That's something that computers are less good at than humans is actually looking at information and finding patterns that actually have meaning as opposed to just random patterns that computers pick up on.
I think it's really easy to forget, actually, sometimes that, and I've seen this happen in so many different places in my long and varied, I nearly said checkered, in my long and varied career. But so it's very easy to kind of forget that the computers are there to help us and do the grunt work, the boring, repetitive things, leaving the human beings free to do the creative stuff. And I think that applies very much to marketing as well. Interesting notion as well about focusing on the information that matters on a few key metrics. I don't know if it's so popular now, but quite recently there was a lot of talk about sort of big data, and that actually could be quite distracting. I mean, what's your experience of that?
Yeah, so there is a need for big data solutions out there, but generally they are for bigger companies that have lots of information that are trying to process, especially text information or data that's not just numbers and simple sort of structured data. But for most people, that can overcomplicate problems and they can end up with too much information and not really know what to make of it. So that's why it's key to focus on the information that's actually relevant to you as a business or as an individual, so that you don't get distracted by what could be possible. It's best to be sort of focused on what you actually need. And then that's when you end up with better solutions, because they're serving a need. That's one of the critical things, is actually it should be helping you in your job, rather than just being a tool that's confusing, which is what you mentioned before about computers should be there to help us be creative.
So really, big data should be used as a tool. You know, it should be automated as much as possible, and then just picking out the bits that are relevant.
Yeah, it should never be the starting point of a solution. It should it may well be that you do find that you do need a big data solution, but it shouldn't be where you start. You shouldn't start with, "Oh, right, we need to implement big data in our organization." Should start with, right, we need to solve this particular problem. And then it might turn out that you do need big data software to help with that. But that's where it should start with, is what are you trying to achieve? Generally, for smaller organizations, it's quite unlikely that they will need big data, especially with computer processing power increasing at the speed it does, that existing technologies do what people need for smaller tasks. So it's amazing now what your phone has in processing power compared to what computers did, say, 10 years ago. So that's why big data is really sort of more for the big players which it may well be that smaller businesses do use big players that do use big data. But as far as they're concerned, they don't really need to know what solutions and what technology the big players are using, because at the end of the day, it's what they get out of the tool that matters, not the technology behind it.
It's funny, actually, what you were saying, because it reminds me, you could almost carry that analogy through to everyday life and the modern generation and the absolute reams of data we have being part of the World Wide Web. It's kind of a reflection of that, because we have to sort through that. And there is this notion of data overload, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. Information overload, especially when it comes to everything from the news, like with 24/7 news channels that are constantly sort of beaming information to us about what's going on that may or may not be relevant to us. And with that too much information, it's really hard to know what's actually important to you, because, you know, in this age, you can know exactly what's going on in the world at any moment. But, you know, is that relevant to you? Is that actually going to distract you from your job, from your life? Or is it actually, or can you use that information in a good way?
Yes, it's all about focus. Now, there's a phrase that I don't know if, were you the first person to use this phrase? Were you the designer of it? Creative-led, data-proven.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm the first person to use it. It's just one that I came up with. I didn't really Google around to see if many people were using it. I wrote about it on a LinkedIn post. But basically talking about how you should always start with a creative idea and then use data to prove whether it's successful or not. So I guess as an example, for instance, maybe a TV campaign. So if you're making an ad, you need to come up with a creative idea about what the ad's going to be about. And then if you want to know if that actually was successful, you need to have some metrics that you can measure that by. So if it's for brand awareness, it might be about, you know, about getting visits to your website, or if it's for, you know, a sale of a product, it might be conversions. So it's always important to start with a creative idea and then use data to prove how successful that was, so that in the future, when you go to future projects, you know what works and what doesn't work, and you can learn from both your failings and both your successes as well. And it's also important to learn from what was successful. There's a big sort of a lot of talk about, you know, learning from failures, but often people forget to actually learn from what works as well. So it's important to learn from both of those things.
And we've talked about these three concepts, sort of the joining of creative and tech, and the sort of focusing on the information that's important, and then this creative-led, data-proven approach. Do you think that those three things are being observed equally from like small businesses to large businesses, or do you think that the problem lies more with the smaller end or the larger end?
Well, I guess the large companies have the budgets to spend on these things, and often can then, as a lot of money can be wasted on developing projects that don't really end up going anywhere, because they often put technology first and then try and make it fit into a need rather than having a need and then working out which technology will fit that. So I'd say it's probably generally more of a problem with bigger organizations, but I think there's, for smaller organizations, they feel that they need to be doing this as well because it's what everyone else is doing. But often that's not always the best approach, and that can lead to bubbles of, you know, where there's like a tech bubble, for instance, because everyone's sort of focusing on something that's not necessarily that beneficial, but eventually it will probably burst.
Well, Scott, thanks for that. It was a very philosophical discussion today, but I was just interested in your three views there. How can people find out about you and TrackPal?
They can find out about TrackPal on our website at trackpal.com. I also post quite regularly on LinkedIn, so I can be found on there. And that's probably the best places to find me and TrackPal.
So that's it for today. Brought to you by Site Visibility, of course, at sitevisibility.co.uk. And if you want to look at the show notes, you'll find us on the sitevisibility.com website /IM podcast. You'll also find us in iTunes and Stitcher. And if you want to contact us, it's the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. And we also have a telephone hotline, +44 1273 256 150. So that's it from me, Andy White, and it's goodbye from Scott.
Thanks very much for listening.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.